So now we're going to cover the connectors portion of our architecture and connectors presentation. We're going to be able to demonstrate several of these connectors in action. I've actually got a lab environment set up for Service Manager where we're bringing data in from Active Directory in the configuration items section, and we can leverage those as part of our work items, whether we're doing a service request activity, whether we're doing an incident request, or if we hit the self-service portal, we can show that stuff too. I've also got data coming in from Operations Manager, so we, as we get an alert from an Ops Manager system, I'm not going to go into OpsMan itself, but I will be able to show you that some of the data is coming in through the connector, and that's actually generating incidents as the alerts get created in Operations Manager. So you actually not only get to see configuration of these connectors, but you get to see some of that in action in this particular lab. We can also demonstrate the connection with Orchestrator, because I've got some runbooks running through the system there, and the Exchange connector will go over the configuration on that too. Okay.
So we have a couple of connectors within Service Manager, and this is the connectors we have. We have a connector or an integration for Active Directory to bring in CIs. We have a connector to Ops Manager to bring in alerts. We have a second connector to Ops Manager to bring in CI information.
The configuration items,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. We have a connector to Config Manager to bring in CIs from the inventory data from the clients.
Yeah.
And we can bring in data such as DCM, the site configuration management.
Using the workflows, right?
Absolutely. We have Orchestrator connector, Virtual Machine Manager connector, and we have the Exchange connector. And why is there an asterisk there?
So actually, that's an interesting fact. Here at MMS that was announced yesterday, System Center post Service Pack 1 has Update Rollup 2, which has just been released. That has included with it support for the new RTM version of Exchange connector, which that's not released yet,
but it will be soon, I can imagine.
Now.
Yeah, suppose
right.
so.
So that Exchange connector is a big topic of interest to people using Service Manager for quite a while, and it's now been released to manufacturing.
Everybody's been using it for years, but it hasn't been supported until now.
Right, so it's good news for Service Manager as a product release.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Email, I'm guessing, is probably a pretty important thing that you want to integrate into Service Manager. Yeah.
In fact, it's the single biggest way that most customers get their notifications.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be good to be able. Getting connection through email is important to Service Manager, both to receive inputs as well as to accomplish notification.
Yep.
So email as a channel is definitely very important.
Okay, so we have a basic general rule regarding connectors, which is, to start with, if you delete a connector, if you delete one of these connectors, every CI which came from this connector only will be deleted from the CNDB. So what does that mean? So if you have an Active Directory connector that brings in all the users, and you start registering incidents and service requests on these users, and then all of a sudden someone removes the connector, all these incidents will lose the connection to the user because the user CI will be deleted from the CNDB.
Right.
So be careful there.
Unless we have an open service request, in which case it'll just kind of orphan the data, right?
No, you will actually lose the CI from the CNDB.
Oh.
So it will be a blank field.
Okay.
So that's really bad.
So
if you have a connector that you don't want to use anymore, use disable it instead of deleting it.
So one minute you could be working on an incident request where you've got a user, an affected user set up in there that used to be come in from the Active Directory connector. You'll go and you'll delete that connector, and then you'll go into that same incident request 5 minutes later, and the affected user won't be there in the field anymore.
It's gone.
So
that's a good tip then.
Yeah.
A good one to start with.
Yeah, so that's great. Two more.
Okay.
So to start with, we have the basic, the main connector, really. That's the Active Directory connector. So we're using this connector to bring in information from Active Directory, such as users, groups, printers, and computers. So in order to register incidents on a user, we need to have them in the CNDB, right? So the Active Directory connector is a great start. You actually need that.
Yeah.
You can add the users manually to the CNDB, but this is a huge benefit, right?
Yeah, so try to think of this as kind of like your absolute base data that you want to use inside Service Manager, right? Like, so inside Service Manager, you've got your work items, which can be like your service requests, your incident requests, your activities, your change requests, so on and so forth. But the actual data that those work items consume are your configuration items, right? Mm-hmm. And at a base level, if the data is not in the CMDB, you can't consume it as part of the work item. So you have to get that data into the CMDB somehow, and the Active Directory is a great way
Absolutely.
To do that, right? So you connect to your Active Directory, whether you want to do so from the domain level or the root of your forest, or from different organizational units. And you can have several of these connectors, right? Like, so let's say you don't have permission to bring in all the data from the Active Directory at the root of the domain, but you do from three organizational units. Well, then you can very well create one Active Directory connector pointed at one organizational unit, and then create another Active Directory connector pointed at the second organizational unit, and the third. And doing this is actually pretty important because you can get information overload in the CMDB, right? It can become a real Achilles heel.
Yeah.
So really tuning or making those decisions as to where you're getting the information, specifically around the Active Directory connector, can be quite important. If you're not certain, you know, there's something to be said about being sure that you have enough data. So the instinct may be to go to the root of the Active Directory and to say, yeah, connect there, give me everything.
Yeah, that's the first thought you will have. You just take everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right.
So it's too easy to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. However, let's say in a typical enterprise organization, you're not going to have permission at the root. That's often the case, first of all. So you'll try the connector, and to begin with, it probably won't work because unless you've got the actual credentials for the service account required in the connection. But if you connect to an organizational unit, you'll get just enough data. So let's say you're actually producing service requests or incident requests on a pool of 2,000 users, but you've got your company that has 200,000 users. So the pool of those users might be situated in an OU. So you would point that connector at that OU, and you'd get just enough information to be effective when you're actually creating your incident requests or service requests, right?
Do you see customers that are setting up kind of different environments, service manager environments, based on different kind of needs that are out there? Like, do you know what I'm saying? So, like, let's say you have one service manager environment that's for, let's say you have 200,000 users.
Right.
And you have a whole different subset of an organization there. Maybe them setting that up and just targeting a specific, let's say, section of the directory? Or no?
So I guess both those scenarios can happen, right? Like you can, the optimal scenario there is that you've got one setup for service manager because you can actually configure role-based access control, right? So you've got, you configure your security groups in the application which map to your groups in Active Directory, and that allows your different users to hit the console and only view specific information they want. Now, if you can get away with that, that's ideal because then the initial investment that you've made to size an architect for a service manager product, that you get realized, but you get to reuse it in your different scenarios, right?
Yeah.
It's according to role and who needs to consume that service. But we do encounter customers that have political boundaries, right? Yeah. So one department says, okay, I want the service manager installation and I want to have access to everything I want and this is how we want to configure it. And you have another department says, well, we don't really work with that department, so we've got a new project, let's roll out service manager, re-architect and go. So technically you could still be pulling that information from the same AD or some of those subset services, but there are needs on occasion to re-architect and just redeploy.
Okay, right? All right. Cool.
And then there's the fact that you can deploy several management groups, right? So you could A, just do, project A, here's the line, project B, or the way service manager can scale, now you can actually set up one management group for the service manager management server, and they can set up another management group, and you're still kind of hybrid realizing that investment. But then what you can do is because of that dual write where you're getting information in the CMDB and some information in the data warehouse, you can still only connect to one data warehouse management group and still somewhat minimize that investment, right? So that data warehouse management group would be sized appropriately, but you're only leveraging one set of SQL servers to do that business intelligence analysis.
Yeah, seems like there's a bit of waste if you were to set up multiple environments of hardware resources and with the management groups and the role-based access control. sounds like you probably have a lot of good controls to kind of segregate things in the environment.
Okay, cool. But it does happen. I'd lie to you if I...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay, cool.
Right?
All right.
Okay, so filters on the Active Directory connector. You can make it. So when you're configuring the connector, you've got a couple of different options. We already spoke about the fact that you can, you've got some flexibility around whether you pick that to go to a domain, an organizational unit. You've got a little bit more flexibility. You can actually pick individual objects you're interested in. Let's say you're only interested in users. Mm-hmm. You're not interested in printers. You can pick that. You could also customize an LDAP query. So let's say you're only interested in bringing in information from the Contoso East organizational unit, and you're only interested in bringing in users from department HR. You could construct an LDAP query to get only that data into the CMDB.
So specific users, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's two types. It's a static connector, which you use when you are actually pointing to the actual objects. You're saying, I want the user Brad, I want the user Anders, and so on and so forth. And then you will only get those objects, right? So if you add a new user, like Carl or someone, he won't get in, right? Because it's static. You select just the two of us. And then we have the dynamic connector, which you spoke about. And that's when we were saying use an LDAP rule or use that OU or something like that.
Right.
So that's the two types.
And you've also got the ability to either pull the data on an as-needed basis. So you can set that on a schedule where it'll basically go on some sort of a time frequency and then resynchronize, pull that data. So if any changes are made to AD or the underlying infrastructure, that'll get consumed into the CMDB. Or if you do it on an as-needed basis, you don't put that on a schedule, and then you just basically go and you synchronize
upon need.
Yeah.
And is the default value, is that configurable via the GUI?
When we're talking about the schedule for the Active Directory connector, you're not actually able to set the schedule within the console, unfortunately. So if you want to set the schedule, you'll have to do that from XML, right?
Yeah, crack the management pack.
Okay. Yeah.
And the default value that...
And the default value is synchronized once a day.
Yeah. Once a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so now we can go ahead and demonstrate that. So I'll flip over to our actual live lab environment over here. So we've actually got a lab environment over here where we've got some connectors configured. So I'll just zoom in there and show you what we've got. These are really the defaults, and I've only set up one of each. However, I mentioned that if you, say for example, the Active Directory, if I had chosen to connect to different organizational units, I could have selected more than one Active Directory connector. In this case, I've only got one, and it's going to be set up to the root of the Active Directory and pulling that data. I've also got the Operations Manager Configuration Items connector set up. I've got the Service Manager connection to Configuration Manager. We're not going to go into that. I don't actually have a ConfigMan server live. But all this just to say that we've got a lot of data in there. Just a fast call out here. We've actually got some live data coming in. So if I go into my configuration item, you can see that I've got some users and some computers in there. We'll just give that a second to load. So if you look in users, you can see that I've already got some data pulled in from Active Directory. Mm-hmm. If you go into work items and say we go into all incidents, I've actually got a number of incidents, and this stuff is being generated live. As I get an alert in Operations Manager, it's creating an incident in Service Manager. So we've got some data that we can show there, too.
Okay.
Now, to the Active Directory connector itself, just to show some of that configuration, here if we actually go to the connector and we look at the properties, here you've got you name the connector and you decide whether or not to enable it or not.
Usually, I actually name the connector using the name of the domain you're connecting to or the organization unit,
yeah.
So you can tell from the view which connector you're about to edit. So that's a good tip to know about.
Right.
So you put it in the name of the connector, right?
Right. And also remembering that all this data that you've got in Service Manager is in the CMDB, and you can pull that information out of SQL in a report or something. So having an adequately and relevant named connector could be important in a later time, right?
Yeah.
Just catch a quick snapshot of that data and what exactly it's being used for in a quick bird's eye view. So notice in the this is where you configure sort of where you're pulling the information from. is on this domain OU tab. You get two. You get the domain OU, and you get the select objects tab. On the domain OU, I just picked that I'm actually going to go to the root of the Active Directory. So I just picked, let me choose a domain or OU. I browsed to the root of my systemsctr.lab domain and then pulled the information, right? I'm going to define credential security. So this is leveraging run as security, which will typically be set up as a domain service account that has rights to read information from Active Directory.
Yeah.
And then populate that same information into the CMDB and the data warehouse.
And when speaking about run as accounts, best practices here is to use one account per connector.
Yeah.
Let's say one account for AD and one account for Operations Manager. And that's it's to minimize the security impact if someone gets access to your account, right? And to increase performance and to make it easy to troubleshoot it. Because if you get an event in the event log, you can see the source of this event and the user of it, so
right.
You can tell which user it is.
So like if you, in the case if you use the same service account for all your connectors and you're troubleshooting auditing information, you're just going to see an access from service account. You don't really get all the data. Whereas if you see OpsMan connector service account, then it's a lot faster to help you troubleshoot, right?
What kind of permissions would a user need to have access to pull it in?
So when speaking about the Active Directory connector, you only need read writes. Because
we're
only
okay.
reading from the Active Directory. We're okay. not writing anything, so that should
so,
be sufficient.
So, yeah, you could just set up separate read accounts for different OUs that you're pulling.
I mean,
kind of thing,
if we're reading from the same domain, you can use one account for that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you're reading from several different domains, you would need
like
read
OUs
accounts.
Or
yep.
domain, yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a read-only access, it's not a huge security
no.
risk, right? So you're just pulling that down. Yeah. Okay.
But as long as you don't use the same account for Ops Manager, Config Manager,
yeah,
AD,
then
you, and so on.
Yeah,
so
then,
on, so.
Yeah, then
yeah,
there's
then
more of a problem.
A little
right.
bit of a security
yeah.
risk.
Yeah.
Now, to actually configure this connector itself, from an application level, the user must be a Service Manager administrator, first of all, to even view anything on this administration workspace,
yeah.
which is where the connectors are being configured. So from an app level in Service Manager, they need to be a Service Manager administrator to be able to do this. Now, I mentioned that you can also set up, you can pick specific objects or specific classes of objects, and this is where you're able to do that. You can pick computers, printers, users, groups, you can pick different types of objects there.
Hold on a minute here. You have two important checkboxes down here. Now, let's show these here. So the first one, Brad, if you choose to select to import a certain AD group. You can say, if you check this first checkbox, it will actually import those users within that group.
Right.
Yeah.
And it shows the group, and it includes things like the group membership.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that.
But it brings in
the members of that group. It'll
right.
Yeah. And the second checkbox here is, do not write null values for properties that are not set in Active Directory.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? If you check that checkbox, and you have let's say you haven't specified a telephone number on your user in AD, you bring in that user, and then you enter the telephone number within the CMDB of Service Manager. If you do not check that checkbox, the connector will actually blank that field when the next sync occurs. So if you don't want it to do that, you need to check that checkbox. So it won't overwrite with null values. So that's
right.
an important checkbox. Okay?
Cool. Okay, so now that's the Active Directory connector. So now we'll flip back to our slides here.
So one thing that relates while you're switching here to that you mentioned earlier is that you should test the number of CI objects you have in AD before you do something.
How would you count? You should count them.
Count them, right. So just go and count how many objects there are in whatever that particular OU is.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, because that's used as an input to the sizing tool.
Right.
Just
yeah.
a
okay.
quick validation check, right?
Okay.
Just so that you make sure, like if you've got 3,000 objects, but you're only seeing, 500 come into the CMDB. Then you you may have to check your connector configuration. Or likewise, if you're expecting 3,000 objects, but you see 35,000, you may want to make sure you're not going from the.
Have a baseline of the comparison of once the imports happens and beforehand. Look, say, hey, oh, this should be. You know, this is, I only want it to be 1,000 objects or roughly, and I'm seeing 100,000 on that query, so I should make sure they're the
yeah.
same, right?
That's right.
Okay, cool.
That's right. And hopefully it's not the latter scenario where you were expecting 3 and you've got 35, because that becomes a little bit of a pickle to
right.
go and clean that data out.
Yeah, okay. So Config Manager have loads of information regarding our clients. So we can bring in that data into Service Manager using this connector. So we can bring in data such as installed software on a client, primary user, and so on. Which software updates do you have, for instance? We can also use the connector to create incidents upon computers breaching the desired configuration management policy within Config Manager.
Right.
So there's actually two things. You can create CIs, which we will do, and you can create incidents upon breaching the DCM policy.
Right.
So that's the two main reasons. Okay?
Okay. All right. So then there's the section on how to create a connector. This is no different, essentially, than creating the Active Directory connector. You're going to go in to your Service Manager console, where I showed you've got that, and then you just go and you configure the, well, first of all, you add the Configuration Manager connector, and then you'll go and you'll configure it. You can pick, once you're actually configuring it, you'll connect to the Configuration Manager database in Configuration Manager. So like similar to Active Directory, you're going to need read access to that database in Configuration Manager. So that's going to pull the data, and then that service account also needs rights to populate the data into the Configuration Manager data warehouse portion, and then that'll write the information into the CMDB as mm-hmm. well, right? So the other thing to consider is the type of, so with Active Directory, there's the where, and then there's the type of data that you want to sync. Within Configuration Manager, the scope of information that's actually collected is not quite as diverse as Active Directory, or it's not quite as expansive. But you do have specific items that you want to pick, and you have the ability to restrict the classes of items that you want to pick. So you choose what collections that you want to sync information
from.
That's
actually the next slide. So.
Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself there.
This is the slide Brad is talking about. So you're selecting the actual collection which you want to import to Service Manager.
Right.
Okay.
And that's basically, in a nutshell, the idea for the Configuration Manager connector. Other types of connectors, of course, so we started by doing the Active Directory connector. We did the Configuration Manager connector. Now we're going to hit Operations Manager connector, of which there are two.
Yeah.
Right?
So we have two separate connectors, one for bringing CIs, the
configuration items,
yeah,
right?
The inventory data from our servers, and another connector to bring in alerts from Ops Manager.
Right.
So that's the two parts we have.
Right, so you bring it, you can essentially populate both input sections of Service Manager. You can populate configuration items by pulling the data that Operations Manager already has inventoried, things like your business services, things like your computers, that you're already connected, you've got in your Operations Manager system. You can port that in and sort of populate that information in the CMDB of Service Manager. And then for the alerts, right, that'll pre-populate into your work items. So primarily it's going to populate your incident requests, however you can mm-hmm. configure that to also, through a workflow, set up service requests as well, right, using triggered workflows.
Yep.
Okay. So I mentioned just different types of discovered objects. I did mention computers, but other things that you might consider are things like potentially you could import SQL databases, you could import websites, you could import all kinds of other things, right?
Yeah. And don't forget about the distributed applications, which is the next slide. So
right.
Let's move on. So we have something called distributed applications within Ops Manager.
Right.
So you can monitoring a service instead of a specific component. So you can bring in these services, the distributed application, into Service Manager as business services, right?
Yeah.
So we have the technical definition within Ops Manager. We bring it into Service Manager. We define the business information within Service Manager, and then we have the actual business services.
Right.
Yeah. So you can use this these services within Service Manager to report incidents and service requests on a specific service.
Sorry. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So those are inside your work items, like your whether it be your incident request or your service request. Like in those forms, you can have related items or business services. You can link straight there.
Yeah.
Right? So they serve just like your users or your computers, they serve as input items to populate the data into your work items.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how to create a CI connector. I'll let you.
Yeah, there's nothing strange to it, right? We go to the admin workspace, we go to create connector, we create our CI connector. The Runas account will need operations. Read access from Ops Manager. So that's okay. There's nothing strange with this one. But how do you select the objects to import, Brad? What objects do you import from Ops Manager?
Right. So there's a few key scenarios here. So for Operations Manager in particular, that leverages the connector framework, right? So in Operations Manager, there's a component that you have to go and configure and actually leverage a subscription, where between the connectors you actually pick different items.
That's true for the alert connector. Yeah. Oh. I was talking about when you're creating the actual connector to Ops Manager, you won't get any data.
Yeah.
Unless you import those management pack from Operations Manager, which contains the class definition for the object which you need the object which you want to import to Service Manager.
Right.
Yeah. So you need to take those management pack from Ops Manager and import them into Service Manager.
So remember, initially we had the Active Directory connector, which is capable of understanding things like your users, like your computers, like your printers, organizational units, and so on and so forth. Now, what Anders is referring to over here is the in order to pick up separate objects like your SQL databases, your websites, and things like that, at the start, Service Manager doesn't know they exist. Right, doesn't even know those classes of objects exist. So in order to provide functionality and definition to those types of objects, you actually have to import the appropriate management packs that Operations Manager would be using, but provide that data into Service Manager. So you're saying, hey, you now have access to these types of objects that I can use. Please input those into the CMDB using my connector, and I can now use those objects and populate things like my service requests, incident requests.
Okay. So it is possible where you could have, let's say, data that gets pulled in from Operations Manager that's not going to be able to be used until you put the management pack on Operations Manager.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe not intuitive at first. You'd be like, why am I installing this management pack on Operations Manager when I'm not necessarily using it?
But then,
Operations Manager, but then it gets pulled into Service Manager and it now lights up that information. Yeah.
Essentially the Service Manager looks at it like this, right? It says, okay, you're asking me to import stuff. Well, I don't know what stuff is, so let's just drop it at the gate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So then you've got the
alert connector, yeah.
Right.
So when using the alert connector, your service accounts needs admin rights within Operations Manager, right?
Right.
And you should be a bit careful when using this connector, because if you create the connector and you select to import everything, you will get a loads of incidents within your Service Manager installation. If you haven't done your job in Operations Manager, right?
Right, a little bit like what I'm doing in the lab. You get like a ton of incidents. Like for example, in our lab we have a switch port that flaps. So every time you get a switch flap, you get an alert, and that'll create a corresponding new incident request, right? So let's say say that thing flaps 20 times a minute, then I'm going to get 20 incidents generated in Operations, 20 alerts generated in Operations Manager, and using the subscription data, that's just going to get flooded across the wire and create 20 incidents. So you have to tune your subscription data from Ops Manager to Service Manager to kind of delimit that.
To say, hey, if there's X number in so many seconds, just deliver me one message, not 15 or 20 or whatever. Right?
Or not take into consideration that data at all until proper tuning's been done on the Ops Manager side to actually control those alerts.
So this is a selected connector. You can select just import these kinds of alerts, right? So you can just, so if you have fine-tuned the AD measurement pack within SCOM, you can take just that portion and import those alerts into Service Manager.
All right, so we've got a demo of the Ops Manager connectors over here. I'll let you show that. I'll just flip into my environment for you. So we've got the configuration item connector here, and we have the alert connector. So I'll give you that.
So there's nothing strange to it, really. Oh, here we go. So we'll look at the CI connector first. I don't know if I clicked there.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You're just pointing it to the actual server. And here we should be using a separate account for the connector, right?
Right.
Then you're selecting which management pack do you want to import. So You import those mention packs from SCALM Operations Manager into Service Manager. Then you have to go into this box over here and select these. So if you add a mention pack for SQL databases, you have to select that database, that mention pack over here, right?
Yeah. Or virtual machines or whatever,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And here's a portion where you can specify when you want to sync this connector.
Right.
So you can specify this schedule from the wizard within Service Manager. Okay. Well, looking at the alert connector, which is over here. Again, we're pointing it to the Operations Manager server. And here we're creating a rule for which alerts to import. You can actually say here, all incidents created by this rule will use a certain template. So you can use different...
Might want to zoom in. Okay. So, yeah. So, for example, what you can do is, I was talking about in Service Manager, or you've got, when you create your incidents or you create your service requests, these populate using forms, right? So I did mention that as you get alerts in Operations Manager, well, as those incidents get created, right, so you may want to have the questions already answered for a new incident. Like what kind of priority it is, what kind of urgency, which to respect your service levels that you've defined as we discussed earlier in the course.
And you can route them to the correct person at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. So depending on which kind of alert it is, you can route it to the right group or person right away.
Right. And you can also pick a different criteria type, right? So you can say as it comes from a different management pack, you know, take this action. What computer did these alerts come from? Mm-hmm. So you can actually, you've got a little bit of granularity that you can set up here.
So here, this would obviously play a really important role to set up a lot of different ones based on a lot of the different criteria of alerts that you're wanting to get.
It can happen for darn sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So just like we did for the Active Directory connector, if you have if it's set up at different levels, this same similar approach. Right?
Is there a good general principle as far as how to kind of separate that out? Because obviously there's customization within after the data is already there versus what it's pulling in.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a...
You're going to have a base template to use for all alerts.
Yeah.
And you're going to use that if you don't have a certain rule for that mention pack or rule. So you have one base rule and then you've specified on the fly.
But as far as strategy for different types of connectors to do, you could use a similar approach than you might use with an Operations Manager that you would take with notifications. So you might take all critical type alerts will get pulled in, and then you'd use a configuration connector for that. All warning type alerts might not get synced, and you know, so you or all critical alerts, but that come from SQL. You
could taking out one portion at a time.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay. So you would use similar approach, I guess, to how you would define your notification subscriptions in Operations Manager, because that is how that data gets pulled across through the connector.
Makes sense.
So similar strategies.
So let's take a look at one work item created from the connector.
Okay, sure. So if we go to
close that.
Get that out of your way. So if we go to work items, and then we go to all incidents. That'll just take a sec to load up. Okay, here you go.
Yeah. So here we have quite a lot of incidents. And if you take one of these, this one should be an incident created from the actual Ops Manager connector, right? So you can see all the details from the alert within SCALM. You can see it right here. We actually have more data over at the extension tab. So you can see more data on these kinds of alerts within Service Manager.
Right.
So you don't have to use both the Operations Manager console and Service Manager unless you're going really deep on the alerts. So you have plenty of information right over here in the console for Service Manager.
Right. So that Anders was saying about the data that gets populated into the CMDB, this data wouldn't be possible to get all of this information if the management packs weren't important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it also, you bring up a good point though, is that Operations Manager in and of itself can fire off some actions as well, right? So, I mean, when is there good scenarios to pull it into Service Manager versus just using the kind of the built-in functionality that Operations Manager provides?
Well, I mean, people are actually working on these alerts. They're actually spending time to resolve these. Yeah. Then you should have a ticket within service manager to report that, to get your statistics to do reporting on, right?
Yeah, because operations manager is just going to maybe send you alerts, fire you some emails, but if you want a ticketing management system, or you want to fire off a series of maybe complex actions based upon an alert, then that's where service manager comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for operations manager products or projects, that's long been a request, right, of customers, is to integrate with an existing ticketing system. In this case, this just happens to be Microsoft's implementation of a ticketing system.
Right.
Right. So you're actually just getting that that flow of data and that continuity and that same messaging information and that knowledge richness being pulled in from what was present in the alert is just showing up in an incident. And it could be different people acting on this stuff too, right? Like you could have sysadmins who are controlling the operations manager management group, whereas now using the incident request, you might have help desk staff that are looking at that who aren't necessarily seeing the alerts coming in through operations manager, but they are getting them reflected as incident requests, and they take different actions based on your defined business processes.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Looks there's good. There's obviously a lot of connectors here, and there's no way we have time. We only have like a few minutes left here to cover them all. But it seems like it's pretty simple to kind of go through and just add the connector. It's some of the little tips and tricks that you guys are given here to get things going. Mm-hmm. So
right, yeah. just something fast to cover. We'll blow by the orchestrator connector, the Exchange connector. What's interesting there is that in the Exchange connector, you hook up to an Exchange system, but in that particular connector, it actually shows you the format with which you can bring information in. So let's say, for example, I get a notification in my inbox that says, okay, this is coming from service request 22335111, right?
Yeah.
I spot out a number. And it says, okay, you've got to create this. You've got to perform this activity, enable the user in Active Directory. That's fine. So now to interact with the service request, I can do so directly from my inbox. So I can actually hit reply, and as long in my reply as I have within square brackets that service request number that the information came from, that will actually populate information right into the service request
Very
using
cool.
the Exchange connector.
Very cool.
This is a really important connector for Service Manager, actually, because it makes it possible to automate service requests within Service Manager. So let's say if you want to automate the creation of users upon a request in Service Manager, you need this integration. So you're creating this connector to bring in the runbooks from Orchestrator within to the CMDB of Service Manager, and then you can create different activities to use within your service request templates to do that automation. So it's a pretty easy connector to set up. You only point it to the actual web service of Orchestrator, and then it will import those runbooks. So it's an easy connector to create, but it's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So similar to the way that the Operations Manager connector uses a CI connector and then information which is uses a work item, only the CIs in this case are runbook activities. So those get pulled into the library. But you can also have messaging passed back and forth. So as inputs, you can actually perform actions using the Service Manager connector within Service Manager. So you could say create a service request, create an incident request using a runbook, and then you can actually leverage those details and have them defined as configuration items, so to speak, and have them pulled into your service requests or your incident requests as related items themselves.
Yeah.
Within those particular things.
So the runbooks when they get imported, it's more of a I'm aware of them and I'm gonna be able to call them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And
correct.
so that when you're creating workflows and things, you can fire it off, that runbook to connect to Orchestrator to do something.
And
right?
pass input from Service Manager to the runbook within Orchestrator.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else would you recommend? I mean, I know we can't cover them all, but is there some other resources or places you might point people to if they want to know more about connectors and some how to do things with connectors?
Yeah, I mean, we have the TechNet library. We have all the documentation for Service Manager, and you have loads of blogs out there. The official Service Manager blog is really good.
The engineering blog, right?
Yeah, that's really good.
There's also System Center Central, which is a good source of information on the community. There's a lot of information. Well, I don't know if it's information per se, but you can get a lot of resources available on CodePlex, which is Microsoft's sort of open source initiative there. And in fact, I used some in the presentation yesterday.
Okay.
There's a few community resources there too.
Great. All right. Thank you guys so much for your time helping out.
Thanks.
Thanks, David.